Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 6, Episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. 99% awesome. That's what I'll say about it.
That was a grim, bloody fable of an episode, man.
It was epic.
I mean, the worst thing you can say about it is it was kind of predictable. It largely
slightly
went down about how we wanted it to. But on the other hand, that kind of made it satisfying.
Sure.
The director, Miguel Sapochnik. Do you recognize that name?
No.
Directed Hard Home last episode, or last season.
Sure, that makes sense.
I feel like we give him all the epic episodes from here on out.
Why not?
I mean, this was a really balls-to-the-wall, tricky episode. They're dragons fighting in formation, like some really crazy medieval combat, which, you know, you can see a lot of Braveheart in it, you can see a lot of Gladiator in it, you can see even a lot of 300 in it, in the staging and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a lot of people pointed out, in the Knights of Vale rolled in a lot of Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers.
Okay.
What do you want to say? It felt like an epic, you know, justice porn the entire episode.
Yeah, totally. And I see now why they had, you know, Danny kind of walking on that balcony last episode so they could save it all for
yes.
this one.
And I forgive that instantly.
Yeah, sure. It was interesting. I don't know if you want to start with Danny. We can talk, you know, about what goes down
might
at
well.
Winterfell later.
Might as well.
But so Danny, you know, she waits like 18 hours or something. I don't know how long she waits, but a while. Mm-hmm. Just lets him attack the city and then, you know, meets with the masters and burns their ships and kills two of them. I was super stoked. I mean, it was as much as the Winterfell battle was awesome, this mm-hmm. was just as awesome.
Yeah, and like when the other dragons bust out, they hear Drogon raising a fracas and they bust out too, and then they get into like a fighter wing element. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then just rain hell down on one boat. Were they trying to impress the ship?
That's what I thought, what the fuck? Because they could be doing a lot more damage, but then I realized what they were doing. They were essentially trying to preserve as much of the fleet as possible, but also set an example, and knowing that Tyrion and Grey Worm and Missandei are going to, you know, handle the commanders.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was pretty good. Like, you know, a lot of people widely speculated that Tyrion's going to be called into the royal carpet a little bit, and he was. But also, he prevented Daenerys from making a classic Daenerys mistake.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like we're going to see a scene of Daenerys leaving Meereen for Westeros before the credits of the next episode roll.
We got one more. I'm not sure yet. She's still got to get on the boats. That might take a whole episode.
Next episode
she's got a
is just,
lot
do you
of
like
Dothraki.
Logistics? It's all going to be logistics. This is the bad. It's
right.
going to be, you know, guys with check marks.
They're planning how much food they need for the journey.
Yep.
Tyrion's like, well, we don't want the Dothraki crushing the whatever.
Dothraki going to get the buddy system, make sure that everybody's loaded on and accounted mm-hmm. for.
Yep.
They're
going to make sure everybody knows how to sail. They're
sure.
gonna, just in case.
Every man has to be able to reef, steer, I feel like that especially when next episode is going to be 70 minutes long.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not asking for too much to see her and Yara and Tyrion.
They had a real girl power moment here.
They sure did.
That
they
was
sure
just
did.
Girl power scene all the way. A lot of girl power in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one thing that annoys me about Jon.
Mm.
I don't know if you're ready to talk about this, but holy fuck, they made Jon so stupid.
Why?
Jon is such an idiot.
Well,
because he played right into Ramsay's hands, even after his sister warned him about it the night before.
Yeah. Do you think when he did that and he looked down and he kind of like nodded, I'm like, in my mind, his internal monologue is like, yep, just like my dad, I'm a fucking dumbass.
This is how I go out.
This is
the second time.
This is what Ned would do. This is what my uncle Brandon would have done. This is what my grandfather Ricard would have done. This is mm-hmm. why us Starks get stomped on from time to time. And honestly,
that was
the
1% that wasn't awesome for me.
So it's not stupid Sansa. It's Sansa the Wise.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, and save the day, too, with the note to Littlefinger, which apparently was directly to Littlefinger.
And why wouldn't she tell Jon at the night?
I don't fucking know. That's the other part of that 1% stupid. Like,
I wonder, number one, what is this going to cost them? as far as what are they going to owe to Littlefinger. Oh.
I don't know that they owe anything. I have this weird feeling that Littlefinger's story is now not about, like, Littlefinger and his rise to power and how he's so nefarious and, like,
it's cunning. How he's going to want to...
It's how, like, his love for the Stark women gets in the way of all that. Like, he could have had the throne or
it
something.
It would
and
be
now...
interesting if he is just so in love with her that... I
feel
I
like that's
get that.
How it's going.
And that's, yeah, that'll change how I feel about, like, him trading her to the Boltons. And but, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Maybe. I don't know.
And Littlefinger's one man. Like, I feel like the, yeah, you know, the Stark and Aaron alliances go pretty deep. I mean, that's how the last mm-hmm. rebellion went. So, you know, I feel like the Lords of the Vale kind of would want to do side against the, or with the Starks against the Boltons. I was honestly, sure. when the Umbers rode forth in the battle, I thought for sure.
Braveheart moment, right.
We were going to get the Braveheart moment where the Irish change sides. But no, man, fucking Umbers and Karstarks were.
Scum.
Were Bolton suckers to the end.
Like, that's the thing. I watch what they're doing on the battlefield, just like flaying yeah. these people, lighting them on fucking fire, yeah. and putting them out in front of the
and they even
like,
said
troops.
like when they marched Rickon out there, and it looks like some of the lords or the men were kind of disgusted at what they're doing, but none of that paid
right?
off. Yeah,
yeah, no, they just played it straight.
One pretty emotional part was like 1-1 dying. I thought that he yeah. was going to kind of make it through, and they're gonna, you know, he was gonna have to convalesce, obviously, but fucking Ramsay. One last moment of malice.
Yep, arrow to the eye. It's rough. And, I expect him to maybe do a little more to break the lines, break those shields. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, 1-1.
Well,
you got
the other thing is, you know, if you got a giant, maybe cut down a tree, make him a big club.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I would have loved to see weapon. Them trying to encircle them if he's swinging a telephone pole around.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, not... So, I don't know. Some of the tactics were not... maybe the best it could have been, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
And man, it was bloody. And
sure was. And that scene where John was getting trampled, I fucking got claustrophobic.
John and Tormund. Like, yeah. both of them were in the muck, and I'm yeah. just like, Tormund's got a boot to his face. John's
yeah.
getting suffocated. It was like
a
bad concert.
I didn't
concert.
Think for a moment that he was going to die, but no, I was like, it made me feel claustrophobic. It made
yeah.
me feel very pinned in, and the way they filmed yeah. that was very, you know, in the moment on the beaches of Normandy, Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
I think this Sapochnik guy has got a gift for filming this action.
It's really good.
And he's got, you know, he can do, like, one-on-one battles. I mean, John's men took arrow after arrow after arrow. Was there any moment where your suspension of disbelief kind of faltered that, like, why? How is John? He doesn't have a shield.
Right. He's just getting lucky.
I mean, that's entirely possible. Like, you're essentially dancing, you're walking right. between the raindrops.
It's, yeah. I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. And it yeah. was just entirely luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't ever, like, have my suspension of disbelief broken there.
I don't know.
It was close. I was thinking about it, but then I was like, you know what? He's either going to live or he's going to get hit by a bunch of arrows and they're going to bring him back. Like,
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people writing in saying they just couldn't get past John breaking ranks because they talked about how they dug trenches and defensive and they left all that shit behind.
And they did the exact thing that they wanted Ramsay to do, which was get angry
and
charge
what
at them.
And that's so it's like, you know...
And Davos, too. I mean, Davos is partially to blame. Like, if John does that and goes rogue, fucking let John die.
Right.
Like... Let John die and then just carry out the plan because
yeah.
it's your best shot at living and best shot at winning this and getting Sansa back to Winterfell. It's like, I don't know if I, who
yeah.
I blame more, John or Davos at that
well,
point.
Well, I mean, obviously John's a commander. He shouldn't have put Davos in a position where,
sure.
you know, because that would be super demoralizing and medieval combat, you know. I played enough of the Battles of Westeros, and the morale rolls can get you.
They can.
You start,
can.
you break ranks. Your unit's no longer stalwart, and pretty soon
you're getting flanked, and you have no defense.
You're getting fucked.
Yep.
So I get it. Like he put him in. He was put in a tough position. He shouldn't ever been put in.
Yeah.
And look at right. here. Look at Davos. Davos finds out the bitter truth about Shireen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he holds his responsibilities down.
He shits his butt out. I mean, his guts just end up in those woods, but he's there for the battle.
But, you know, he didn't go and, like, start shit with the Red Woman right then and there. Like,
right.
there's a battle. Like, unlike John, he mastered his personal feelings
yeah.
and they won the battle because of it.
Right, and I don't feel like it's totally out of character for John, especially when you see Hell your brother no. get killed right there in sure. front of you. You're going to get mad. I yeah. get it. But, man, for the rest of your troops, for yeah. Sansa, the sister who's still alive, mm-hmm. for the entire North, like, fucking... For the entirety of the continent, for Westeros, you need to hold your shit together, man.
So, we got to talk about the other, I think, elephant in the room. Yeah. Or the other, you know, little girl in the room. Sansa, when Jon's swearing to protect her,
uh-huh.
said, no one can protect me.
Yeah.
No one can protect anyone.
Mm-hmm. I think she's right.
But that's got to be some Arya foreshadowing, right?
No one.
No one can protect me. No one can protect anyone.
We've always interesting, but she's not no one. She's Arya Stark.
This is a little bit of an android from Star Trek meltdown because, you know, no one can protect anyone. No, but no one. Arya Stark is no one, but she can protect. Everyone's been seeing. I just want to throw this out here. Everyone's been trying to figure out who Arya is going to kill, but maybe Arya's role is going to be like the shield. Like, say, because that's also, they had a very antagonistic relationship.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if Arya plays the role of, like, Sansa's shield going forward.
Yeah, and I can see that.
I know Brienne's kind of playing that role now, but... Again, the worst I can say about this episode is it's largely predictable because it kind of went down how mm-hmm. everybody... If I kind of tested the waters for the most popular theories, it was going to be Sansa wrote the Littlefinger. Yeah. Knights of the Vale going to ride in the last moment.
I am happy to see the alley-oop from Jon to Sansa where she gets to actually mm-hmm. kill Ramsay, you know? I mean, she deserves it.
Well, and I thought that was great, the way they set up the hounds, and they haven't eaten for 7 days, and Ramsay right. being my hounds will never attack me, and like, nope.
And then they couldn't resist. Like, they love the exotic cuts, right? The cheeks.
Sure.
The balls. They can't resist those sweet, sweet meats.
Yeah. And I thought that was, I don't know... In my heart of hearts, I was hoping that Ramsay's never actually felt pain and that he was just going to crumple like a baby when Jon said, like, just shit his pants. But he's very Joker and the Dark Knight and, like, you know, Jon Snow's Batman and he's just laughing and having a great time and he's still tormenting Sansa until the very end. But so I guess that's okay. Ramsay's dead. We didn't see him die.
No, we saw him.
He's still alive.
Get his cheeks eaten, for sure. Get his jaws pulled off.
You can survive without cheeks.
I suppose
You don't need cheeks to win the Game of Thrones.
I think as much as you can see someone die in this show, we saw him die.
But we didn't see him die.
Mm. And the red woman's still around, so...
Yeah, you know, it's true.
Davos says one too many mean things, maybe she'll get a
bug.
That's
what you didn't know. You raise him back to life, you feed him to his dogs, you raise him back to life, that's how you punish a guy like Ramsay.
Yeah, how much of Ramsay do you need to bring him back? That's the question. How much has to be left?
I don't know. One tooth.
But I mean, that's like it, right? There were those two plot lines. It was Daenerys all day and Jon and Sansa all day.
Yep. Let's talk about the Ironborn thing a little bit. It does seem like for whatever, like, you know, however many ships they need, Tyrion's acting like that's going to be barely adequate. Mm-hmm. So what does the Greyjoy, what is the Euron Greyjoy plotline become at this point? Is that something, are we going to have a sea battle next year? Because
could
Dany wins.
Dragons win, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a trump
like,
card.
It's like, well, I mean, look at World War II to find out what happens when battleships go against aircraft carriers.
Right.
Before you even get to see Dany's ships, you're going to have three black shapes swooping in and raining hellfire on you.
Right.
So it's like almost like Euron's plot is a little bit irrelevant at this point.
Well, the interesting thing is, let me propose this, maybe as a delay tactic to not get Dany to Westeros.
Is this a marriage alliance you're offering me? You're proposing?
No. Oh. No, it's my dick.
Because you already own half of Bald Move. I don't know what you hope to gain.
I wonder if they're going to say, all right, well, we barely have enough ships. Uh-huh. It's not quite enough. We could use some more. We know Euron's on his way here.
Uh-huh.
Let's just wait for him. Let's do the same thing we did to the Masters, and let's take his ships for the extra that we need. Right? That feels a little too plausible, doesn't it? That's why you're hanging your head and shaking it going, oh my God, he's right.
Yeah.
That's a whole episode right there. Oh, man.
Yeah. Again, get the spreadsheets out and make sure you got enough boats. I mean, Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. That does sound plausible, but boy, it sure does sound unsatisfying to close out season six with Danny still being a fucking Marine.
I'm with you. What if they do that? What if they just shortcut it a little bit, and he gets there, they have the battle, another epic battle, where she totally toasts him, and then, you know, at the very end, she starts setting off.
Could be. I mean, as long as at the end, at minute 69, or before, she has set sail officially to Westeros.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's, like, she's got to set a ruling council Marine, and she's got to have, you know, leave adequate defenses for them, and I don't think
she's got to make all the flags, like, all the...
Sure.
The dragon
masks.
By
the way, fucking the intro next week better have the Stark sigil flying over the clockwork Winterfell.
Oh, it better.
It better. If they fucking don't change that...
Yeah.
They've already got it. I'll volunteer to splice it in for you if you don't have the time, guys. But I better see the Stark direwolf on top of the clockwork.
I think you will.
Winterfell.
I really love that moment where the Flayed Man drops and the
because
you know they had that same moment for Ramsay when he took Winterfell.
Yeah,
so.
It felt like that classic photograph of like the Soviet troops taking over the Reichstag, the Hitler's building, and they're like dropping the. Swastika, and they're raising the sickle and hammer.
Yeah.
So that was all great. Trying to think what else, because I felt like there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll get to it on Tuesday. We have plenty of time to think about it.
Yeah.
It's
a super, super long episode next week. I'm curious to see what happens between Davos and the Red Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what happens with Euron, if they'll even touch that, because, again, I can't see. Oh, that's the thing I want to talk about. So Dany agrees to, I guess, grant the Iron Islands their independence as long as they broadly follow the rules that Dany sets forth as far as what an independent kingdom. Is that support my parliamentary democracy idea or no?
Not directly, I guess. Like, there's still going to be a queen, right? She's going to be the de facto ruler. Like,
well, that's what a parliamentary monarchy democracy is. Still has a queen. I mean, you know.
Okay, but the queen is not like the one making the decisions, right?
Well,
there's some kind of overseeing body.
Sure, but she can,
that.
Like, you know, I mean, there's the great thing about the queen is she has powers. Like, she can dissolve the government, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And she can, like,
seems like a last resort.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you, like, dig really deep in, like, the cool things about the monarchy, democracy stuff is that the queen is kind of like the ultimate well of power for the people. Like, if the government becomes tyrannical, all the armed forces are personally loyal, like, sworn loyalty to her, and she can dissolve the government and say basically, everybody pick up swords and defend the people! And they'll do it, in theory. In theory. Now, you know, what would happen is instantly it would provoke some kind of constitutional crisis, and God knows what would actually happen. But it would be a cool... I mean, we don't have the equivalent, because you know, political figurehead is actually got real teeth to him, and he's like, you know, he's a corporate man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
he's a government man, a G-man, if you will.
Yeah, that'd be super interesting. I'd love to see that happen in the UK.
No, you wouldn't. No, I don't want to see any first world country go through some goddamn civil war.
I don't know. Watching from afar, that might be kind of
cool. Yeah, 50 years later, like, in history books, it would be cool. But, the resultant worldwide financial meltdown and instability probably wouldn't be fun.
There will be some fallout, but...
I just hope you have dragons, Elizabeth.
I hope you have popcorn.
Now she'll mount up on her corgis and ride.
Jesus.
And ride. Those corgis assemble into one massive direwolf, like Voltron style.
I think we have officially run out of things to say about this episode.
Yeah, Game of Thrones at baldmove.com, forums.baldmove.com if you want to have an expanded discussion. But yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday to tear this thing apart and talk about what works, what didn't work. Again, I feel like that there's going to be a lot of fair criticism as far as the minutiae and the tactics and like even the layout of the battlefield. That huge wall of bodies was cool, but I'm scratching my head like, how did this happen?
Yeah,
like, you know,
were people climbing on top and dying?
Yeah,
why would you climb on top? Can you imagine? Like, that's...
I mean, I do feel like that Sapochnik like did literally pull greatest hits. Like, if you take the war scenes from the top 10 most popular movies in the last two decades, they're in there.
Right.
So it's like, the wall of bodies was cool in 300. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really fit this battlefield, but what the fuck? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And same with the spear. So I mean, I don't share those criticisms, but I bet that's, if anything, the people are going to bring it down on suspension, disbelief, and predictability. But
right.
To me, I was ready for it. I was ready for the good guys to win, but things look desperate. The other, you know, bummer thing is, boy, the, you know, yet again, Westeros has weakened and bled when the real war is still coming.
Yeah,
like this is thousands of men, of good and valiant men, died for no real good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's the impact of that going to be? The last giant perhaps dying? Those are all interesting topics of discussion. But yeah, we'll talk about that on Tuesday.
Sure will. Thanks everybody for listening. And until then, I'm Jay.
I'm Aaron. See ya. Hey, everybody, want to talk about our club at club.baldmove.com. You might have noticed, hopefully, tonight that our website wasn't being crushed by the traffic like so many Jon Snows beneath the teeming hordes of people desperately hitting F5 to get the Instant Take podcast. It's because Jim and I did significant upgrades. The only way we can afford to do that is because of generous people like yourself joining our club at club.baldmove.com. It's as little as $1 a month to join, and you get tons of bonus features like ad-free feeds, VIP forum access, extra content. I think you get your dollar goes a long way, longer than the value menu at Wendy's for sure. I mean, what can you get? A junior bacon cheeseburger, one? You get a whole month of extra content.
Get nuggets? You can get nuggets.
You can get nuggets. You can get nuggets for a day. You
I might prefer nuggets.
Well, you can get five of them, to be fair.
Okay.
Depending on the lunch and depending on the month, you only get like four lunches or five. I mean, it's comparable. It's in the ballpark.
Just a nugget of lunch. That's all we ask.
That's all we ask. You can mail them through a P.O. box. But in lieu of mailing us dodgy chicken meat, you can join the club. club.baldmove.com. We do need and appreciate your support. Thanks.